Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling, located in New Caney, Texas. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.com.
So a couple weeks ago, I was actually on a hunting trip in Colorado. And me and my dad, there was like my four brothers, one of my brother-in-laws, my dad, and one of my nephews. And so one day we actually kind of split up into different groups. And me and my dad and my nephew were kind of on our own. We had taken this trail way up into these mountains. It was just incredible. And we got to this ridge that was overlooking another huge ridge. And so between us was this huge, like, I don't know all the Western lingo, but like this huge cavern, big giant, what is that, crevice? I don't know. Whatever. Crevice doesn't sound like the right word. Whatever. From one ridge to another ridge, we were basically glassing with our binoculars, and we were looking. And all of a sudden, we spotted this buck. And so we see this buck on the other side, and my nephew's never shot a buck before. And so we were like, hey, this is it. This is your opportunity. And so we started glassing this thing, and we started watching him for a long time, trying to get a good shot, trying to figure out how this was all going to work. And so finally, my nephew actually gets down, and we get close enough to this thing where we actually got to within, I think, 280 yards, and he gets down and he pulls the trigger on this buck. And as soon as he hits the buck, we're watching, we're like, yeah, you hit it, man, you got it, nice job, that's awesome, so stinking cool. And then the problem is the buck went down. But when I mean it went down, it went down. It went down. Down. So, you know, the ideal thing would have been the thing died and then just die, you know. But it died on the move, okay? It died on the move. And so this thing literally rolled down this mountain. That's what I'm going to call it. I don't know exactly hills, mountains. It rolled down this mountain down into the bottommost place of this place, okay? And so I'm watching this thing, and we're watching, oh, this is going to be bad. So my dad and my nephew actually go to down this ridge, and I'm watching them spotting so that they know where to go. We find the deer. This is great, okay? We're on the radio. I back up, okay? I backtrack back to the truck, move the truck around to be as close as possible to where we're going to hopefully get this thing out, okay? At the truck, my dad radios me and says, okay, we've got the thing gutted out and everything like that. We're going to start dragging this thing back to the truck. Cool. Awesome. Praise the Lord. So I start heading down the first ridge. Okay, there's a couple ridges. I head down this first ridge, come back up, then I go back down into the saddle, and then I come back up on this other saddle, and then I go back down. Okay, so one like this, okay, think camel. I go down, the last down, I go down across. And every moment, I'm waiting to see them. See, I'm waiting to see them because they said they're going to start dragging this thing back. So I'm, okay, here. It'd be nice if they were right here. Right? And so I get down to like the furthest, I keep going down, down, down. The last down, I'm going down, down, down. And finally, I see orange way up there. And so I finally get to them, and it's been a while. And I'm like, man, you guys didn't make it very far. And my dad looks at me, he points back, and he says, no, it died right there. It was like 30 yards back. And I'm like, what in the world? You guys didn't go anywhere with this thing, right? And so finally, I'm like, okay, fine. So I grab onto the rope, okay? Now, here's the problem. There's snow everywhere, okay? There's snow everywhere. And this isn't like a regular drag. This is like I don't know the angle stuff, but this is a really steep one. And so literally, I kid you not, I got one hand on, my nephew's got his hand on the other side of the drag, and we're pulling this thing up, but I'm like grabbing onto branches. I'm on all four. I'm on my knees. I'm grabbing with one hand like grass and branches, and then we're literally like this. We're like, one, two, three. One, two, three. Okay, there's no air in Colorado. Did you guys know that? I'm serious. I'm not kidding. That's why they, you know, legalized the stuff, because they needed something. They needed something. That's why it's legal there. But literally, there's no oxygen there. So literally, it's like one, two, three. And I'm thinking in my head, I just walked over half a mile to get back here. And we're taking this thing out of here literally like a foot or two at a time. This is going to be really rough. And we were straight up with this thing. Straight up. I mean, that's how it felt. Straight up. And it's like. And my dad's just back there. He's got all the gear and stuff. But he's just like, there's no way I'm getting into this. And so me and my nephew, we drag this thing all the way up one ridge, down another, up another, down another, up another to the truck. We get back to the truck, okay? We finally get back to the truck. It's like the next day. No, I'm just kidding. That's how it felt. We get back to the truck. And I kid you not, my dad pulls me aside and he says this. He says, Seth, thanks for doing that. Thanks for pulling that deer out. If you hadn't been here, okay, if you guys hadn't been here, I would have died. I would have died. Like, not only would you come and, like, pull this deer out, you'd be dragging me out of here, okay? You'd be dragging me out of here. If I had to carry that load, just me and my nephew, without some other help, I'd have died back here. Obviously, he was kind of joking, right? He wouldn't have let himself die hauling a deer out. But I was thinking about that a little bit. I was thinking about this, and I was going to ask you guys this question. Is there anybody in this room right now who is carrying a load and you're doing it all by yourself? You're doing it all by yourself. You have an incredible load and you are walking straight uphill and it's just you and the drag. Is there anybody in here doing that? Yeah. Who's doing that? You don't have to obviously raise your hand or anything like that, but it can start to feel like you're dying. It can start to feel like, holy smokes, I would die. This is what, what could that load be? What could that load that you're carrying be? It could be relationships. It could be broken relationships that you're dealing with, okay, and your family. I'm thinking of Christmas being a time where we start to lean up to a time where we start to interact with people that sometimes we would prefer not to interact with, right? There's a whole lot of that in this room, okay? What could that load be? What could that load be? Maybe it's you feeling just depressed or anxious. Stuff's going on at work. You're dealing with stuff and nobody really knows about it. You're just kind of carrying that load all by yourself. Is there anybody in here who's just feeling some kind of load, whatever it might be, and you're doing it alone? You know, the thing that jumped out at me in our text in chapter 2, verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. My first point today is that we are a people. We are a people. You got to think about that a little bit. You got to do a little bit of work here just to think about that phrase. We are a people. We are not called to do life on our own. We are not called to grab onto some load and carry that baby to the top of some hill by ourselves. And I love in this text how it brings us out of individualism and it instantly pushes us into this, to this idea of community, into this idea of the body, into this idea of what actually the church is all about. What does it actually mean to be the church, walking together? See, this is what church is. We are a people, not like we the people. I'm not talking about that. What is that one? That's a constitution or something like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. I mean, there's some maybe similarities or something like that, but no. This is something so much deeper. This is something so much deeper as we're thinking about what does it mean to be the church? And I was thinking about this. I was thinking about like this building. Is that what church is? Is church us coming to whatever it is here, 21330 Legion Road, like this place, the old Yellow Rose, and is it coming here, and is that what it means? Well, I mean, that's good, and that's a good thing. That's a blessing. That is a part of being the body, a place to come together. But what does it actually mean to be a people? What does that look like? Are we simply a nonprofit? Are we simply like this organization that gets a tax-exempt status and that kind of helps us with kind of our giving and helps us, okay, is that who we are? See, if this building, actually, I love the fact that we have this for sale sign. Did you guys see this coming in?
Yeah.
Our for sale sign always. I love that that's always reminding us all the time that this place, we don't own it. We rent this place and it could get sold. And the day that this place gets sold and we get kicked out of here, if that day ever comes, who knows? Okay, who knows what'll happen? But if that day were to ever come, you know who's going to struggle with that the most? The person who doesn't think about this message. The person who associates church with simply 10 to 11 on a Sunday morning. The person who associates church with my donut in the back. Who associates church with put the sign up so I know where to go to church. The person who associates with like little dwellers, get my kid out of here. The person who associates with like put something on the screen for me, make me feel good. Do something up here. Well, I wonder what that's going to be with the message. Do something, you know, give me a good background. Start. The people who are going to really struggle with that are the people who associate church with essentially consumerism. That'll be a hard day for those of you that are kind of bought into that. That's going to be a challenge for you. Because you'll have kind of stripped away something that you're like, that's church. And what I'm coming at, I'm kind of, what God's word is saying here is he's saying, you are a people. You are a people. It's less, guys, about going to church as it is being the church. Have you ever thought about that? I know some of you have. I know for some of you that's near and dear to you, but for some of us, we've maybe not given thought to actually being the church. Look at our Ephesians text. This is a key verse for me in even naming this church. Look at what it says here. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, not a people. Look at what it says. But you are fellow citizens with the saints, members of the very household of God, built on, notice that already there's like a building, it's starting to sound like a building here, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a place where God's Spirit dwells. We are a people. See, primarily, what does it mean to be church? Primarily, it means to be a people where God's Spirit dwells. I mean, the donuts are cool. Don't get me wrong. I like the donuts. I like the coffee. I like the building. I like that we're portable. I like screens. I like images. I like that stuff, too. Those things aren't bad. There's something about those things that are really good. But fundamentally, at the most basic level, what does it mean to be the church? What does it mean to be church, to be the body, to be a people of God's own possession? A people that he has bought and purchased. A people that he has said, you are part of my family. You are part of it. You actually get to be part of God's family? Joined together in ways that are so deep that listen, like Snap Fitness, there's communities all over the place. There's a sense of community in a lot of the things that we're part of, right? I mean, I'm part of Snap Fitness. I like to go work out at Snap Fitness. But I'm here to tell you, when my marriage starts to go into the tank, Snap Fitness will not be there for me. You see that? You might go to, you know, there's bars. Okay, bars or restaurants or places where there's certain kinds of community that you have. Okay, your bowling league or something. I'm not over here for any reason or something. But you know, the bowling league. Okay, those are cool things. Those aren't bad things. Those are good things. I like those things too. But what does it look like at the deepest level to be joined to not only God himself, but God who also enjoins us together with others? in an incredibly deep way, where we begin to love and care for each other, and we begin to, and what can start to happen right about now in this conversation is we can start to say, well, that must mean that I need to look or feel a certain way. That must mean that I need to, man, that sounds really serious, Seth. So it must mean that I need to start to work hard to clean up my life or get perfect or whatever it might be to be part of that, right? That's how we can start to kind of think. But how do we actually become part of this family? How does that happen? We enter into this family, and I want you to see this. We enter into this family through the blood of Jesus. It's Him as we walk, as we begin to participate in this family, as we begin to participate in this being a people, we begin to participate through the blood of Jesus. Look at 1 Peter 1:18 through 19. This is just right before our primary text for today. Look at what it says. What does it say? What does that mean? What does that mean? We already talked about how you once were not a people, but now you are a people of God, a people of His own possession. He owns us. Wow, He owns us? Yeah, why? Because He's bought us. Not with perishable things such as silver or gold, even though that stuff's pretty costly. What's even more costly than that? With the holy, precious, innocent blood of Jesus Christ. This is why the cross is such a big deal. Because Jesus on the cross actually provides us a way to be part of this people group. It's not cleaning up and getting everything put together so that then I can come and kind of be part of everything once I kind of look and feel kind of a certain way, which I think is a real problem in the Western church. Because sometimes that starts to get conveyed. You got to look this way. You got to kind of do this thing. You got to kind of be this person. And then you can be part of us. No, that's wrong. How do you get to be part of us or we? How do you get to be part of that? Through the cross. Through faith in Jesus Christ. Through what He has done for you. He is the one who calls us and brings us to be part of this family. That's incredible. And what happens as we're kind of part of that, it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter exactly why you're here this morning. Ultimately, it's what has Jesus done for you? Drop the load. Drop the load. Be part of a people. Be part of a people. My second point, kind of my last point for today, is that from our text, we find out that we're not only a people, but we're a people in the light. We're a people in the light. Look at that from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are a people that are transferred from the kingdom, this is Colossians, from the kingdom of darkness, and we've been brought into the kingdom of the light. We've been brought into the kingdom of the light. Now that's actually a little bit freaky. There's some freakiness to that. There's some cool stuff. There's some freaky stuff. Because isn't it true that when we move from darkness into light, it begins to potentially expose things? It begins to shine a light in our hearts. It begins to shine a light into our lives, yes. And so much about that is good. But I remember still a time when I was in this bat cave one time, and we were shining a light into the bat cave. And I don't fully get exactly what was going on, but it seemed like they were ticked off that we were shining a light in there. And we're just shining. We're just like, ah! And they were just so mad. They were just so angry. Why? Because I don't like the light. There's something about being in the light that begins to expose stuff. It begins to reveal things to us, doesn't it? There's a vulnerability that comes with being in the light. So what does it look like to be a people that begins to be vulnerable, begins to share, begins to bring things to the light? It begins to, even though I don't want to, I'm going to actually reveal this thing so that we might start to deal not with the fluff, but the real stuff, the deep stuff in our hearts. This past Thanksgiving, you know how you do the little what you're thankful for thing or whatever? Some of you are weird and use the candy corn. We don't do that. Don't some of you do the little candy corn? No, nobody. Okay, maybe I'm making that up. But you know how you like to go around and you say what you're thankful for? It was really interesting because this year, and I asked them for permission to share this morning, but we were going around our family, and one of my brothers was sharing just God's grace and mercy this past year for him and his wife as they've been dealing with some kind of hard stuff in their marriage. And really, nobody kind of knew that. And so he reveals to our family in one of the most vulnerable kind of moves, at least during that time, he reveals, we've been struggling in our marriage this past year. We've had some real issues that we've had to deal with. It hasn't been good. It hasn't been pretty. We're committed to each other. We're going to make it work. We're going to make it happen. But it's been tough. And what is that? That's a vulnerable, putting it out into the light move. See, what I'm trying to do here is simply, and there's so much with this text we could talk about. It's just endless. But what I'm trying to do is move us from a place of just kind of fluff. Silent night. Oh, this is great. To why Jesus has come. To deal with real heart stuff. To deal with real issues that you and I struggle with, that you and I go through. And we can do that in the context of being a people. We can do that in the context of being with each other. Just this morning, I connected with somebody who said, how can I get involved in community? That's essentially what they said. How could I maybe get involved in community? That's such a great question. This is somebody who understands, I need that. I need to come with people. I need to be a people, not just an individual, not just me and just by myself. No, we're going to hook up to this drag, and we're going to carry this thing out together. Bearing each other's burdens, Galatians talks about. Bearing each other's burdens. When's the last time you've shared something real with somebody that you trust? When's the last time you shared a sin in your life with somebody? When's the last time you shared a broken thing that's in your life and you're just, when's the last time you shared that with somebody you trust? I'm not saying this is going to be like the big share all. Now for the next 20 minutes, we're all going to share our biggest problems. I'm not saying that. But in the right context, are you doing that or are you doing life alone? I know there's some people in this room who are super healthy, who are as broken as everybody else, but who have latched up and connected up and are doing life with other people. That's healthy. See, it's not about cleaning up your life and not having any problems, and then I can do life with people. That's you're missing that. Listen to this quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I love this. His book called Life Together, okay? On page 28, this is what he says. And when I read this, I was just like, oh my gosh, I got to share this. Even when, he says, sin and misunderstanding burden the communal life. What's he saying there? He's saying the community, the church, is going to have sin in it. There's going to be brokenness. There's going to be hurts. There's going to be pain. It's not like clean it up, put the suit and the tie on, and then everything's good. No. What is it? Even when sin and misunderstanding burden the communal life, is not the sinning brother still a brother with whom I too stand under the word of Christ? And then look at this last part. I love this. Will not his sin be a constant occasion for me to give thanks that both of us may live in the forgiving love of God in Jesus Christ? Will not Fred's sin be a constant occasion for us to go before God and remind... Sorry, Fred. I don't know if you committed a... Fred committed a big one this last week. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Will not Fred's sin be a constant occasion for us to come before God and, God, thank you for your forgiveness that you've given to us. Me too. Me too. This doesn't free us to sin more. Okay, I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying, can we come together as the body, as a people, begin to bring some things to the light? And I want to encourage you. If there's something right now on your mind, and maybe it's only one or two of you in the room, but something on your mind that you've been doing alone, get that thing out there to some people you trust. I know I want to talk to you. I want to connect with you. I know there's other people. We want to get you into our small groups that we got going here so that you guys can start being cared for and so that you can begin to care for others. That's got to happen. Sunday morning, just coming to the Yellow Rose, 21330, getting your little donut, showing up, sitting back. Yeah, Jeffrey, sing to me, sing, make me feel good. That concerns me. Well, on multiple levels. On multiple levels. Sharing our hardships with each other, bringing them to light, dealing with the real stuff. I hope and pray, I was thinking about this, I hope and pray I have not in my preaching conveyed that like Jackie and I, my wife and I are like perfect. I hope in no way have I ever conveyed this idea that we got it all figured out in our marriage or that we have it all figured out in our parenting or we have it all figured out in life or something. I was trying to reflect on this. I hope that I've brought mistakes and struggles and brokenness and pains. And I hope that we're in a real, this is enough that we can bring that stuff. Yeah, okay, it's real. I hope that that's taken place this past year and that you have the kind of the right are we doing that with each other? Are we doing that? Today, do you have something that you need to share? Do you need something to get off your chest? I guess in closing here, I want to ask you to stop dragging the deer up the mountain by yourself. That's what I want you to stop doing. Stop dragging the deer up the mountain by yourself because you're going to die. And somebody will end up having to drag you out. Know that our God has come right into the midst of where you are today. He offers you not only himself, but he offers you his body, the church. He offers you his people to do life with. Would we please, I'm begging you, would we please take him up on that? Begin to be a people that walk in the light. Be a people that walk together in the light. That's Galatians stuff right there. Walking in his spirit as he's leading and guiding us. 1 John talks about God being the light. And as we're letting him shine in us and do that work, that transformational work that light does in dark places, let it happen. Move closer to him. Move closer to his family. Let's pray. I want to pray.